Will you please be seated? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is evidence, dear Susan, had left the world's side by God's grace. She has chosen the hymns for this service. We will commence with the first hymn, followed by prayer. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breath. My Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. And the second verse, my fearful heart, he reads, secures my soul from harms, while underneath his mercy spreads its everlasting arms.
Thank you.
Will you please be seated? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious and merciful Lord, God of heaven and earth, grant that due reverence and godly fear and thy gracious presence, we humbly pray. Lord, do sanctify the gathering at this time with thy love. And may we be sweetly moved by the Spirit of God to approach unto thee with thanksgiving and with faith in our hearts to believe. Lord, remember the dear family, how we bring them unto Jesus for that sweet help. We think of him that wept, and grant, O Lord, that sweet presence of the Lord Jesus with those that mourn. Remember the parents and the family, each one, we tenderly and affectionately bring them unto thee. Grant, O Lord, that needful help. We need grace all sufficient. We desire to bow humbly before thee. Thou art God. And we pray, Lord, for that mercy and that forgiveness of our sins. And grant, O Lord, that all things may be done in thy fear and to the glory of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the memory of our dear departed friend, how we loved her. We pray, Lord, that thou help us commit her into thy hands. We thank thee for that grace that called her at the end of her life to know the truth and to feel it too. Lord, be with each one. We pray that thou deeply sanctify our gathering, the solemn occasion. And grant, O Lord, that thou would be with us by thy sweet spirit. We desire, Lord, to bow humbly before thee. And we ask that thou would receive us graciously, pleading that worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Forgive, Lord, all we ask amiss. Cleanse us well. Grant, Lord, a sweet liberty. The oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. I will read a few scriptures from the scriptures, and I will then desire to address the dear family and the congregation. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. So the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yea, yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? O fool, thou, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart. We leave the reading there of God's word. By the help of God, I desire to address, firstly, the dear family, and then us all, really, from these words that we have just read. I'll read them again, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts. I feel directed to speak just from the scriptures, as my custom is, especially to the dear family. There are troubled hearts, hearts full of sorrow, hearts so sad. May there be a sweetness in the things that God has been pleased to do, especially with regard to our dear departed friend. It shall turn to you for a testimony. Perhaps we may direct you to that time when dear Susan was given to you, with many prayers, many, many thoughts. And as time has gone by, I am sure that there have been many anxious thoughts. And now there are so many sorrows for you, but may it please God that this may turn to you for a testimony of God's rich, sovereign grace, or sin abounding comfort. Heart so cast down, and yet with a little God-given sweetness, may the Lord grant a sweet testimony of God's immortal grace His goodness. We sung only last evening, He is too good to be unkind. Settle it therefore in your heart. Now what we do need, friends, is the Holy Spirit of God to direct us by His power. And perhaps it is a time when we especially think of the testimony or words that have been left behind. Our dear friend was called by grace, we believe, the last few months of her life. And I want to direct the dear Sorin family to the wonder working of God, so that there is a balancing of the clouds. God has been pleased to grant the blessing of His grace in a very conspicuous way. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. That is my desire for the dear family. We've walked together for many years. And who would have thought that dear Susan would be taken from us? But the Lord knew. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. God's sovereignty. And His rich grace. May there be a sweet consolation. And settle it therefore in your hearts. Oh, it does need the Lord, doesn't it? Comfort hearts. But oh, may there be a little sweet settling upon the things of God. I want to just leave that first consideration this morning. In this regard, friends, it's doctrine that gets underneath of sorrowing hearts. Judgment and truth support His throne. May you sweetly feel it. These are God's appointments, settlements, everlasting. But oh, may there be a sweet resignation and a gracious knowledge that it is the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart. Oh, how we feel so much for the dear family. Our hearts go out to them. I'm sure that there are many that feel so deeply under God's dealings and His sovereignty. And it brings me a little further. Perhaps those things that are left behind bear more weight. A testimony. Because it's not only in word, but it's in life and the change of life that God is pleased to give. For ye must be born again. I was seeking that God may direct me to speak rightly. From the words here, and I thought of those that love dear Susan and work with her, and those colleagues may perhaps not be knowing our way of worship. Well, friends, we believe in the new birth. And also there's a hymn that you all know, each of us know this morning, that bears down upon this very truth. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. It's a hymn known by, well, so very many. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's well known, isn't it? Now, friends, what we need is that grace in our hearts. Now, let me direct you as the Lord may help me, very soberly. By the help of God, we are persuaded that God had a gracious purpose regarding our dear departed friend. And she learns this sweet truth more and more to all eternity. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And to speak, as God may help me, regarding the circumstances that surround us. Dear Susan was so well loved. She was a good friend. She was perhaps one of those characters that will be remembered for a long, long time. You want to come further than all those natural attributes, so many. I had a special union with her, even in things of this life. And I miss her very much. Friends, it's what God did. The last few months of her life. We have reason to believe, and I want to hasten, how God called Susan by his rich grace. She was poorly and then had to go into hospital. And there was a very great trial to walk in because she was told after some little time that she had a malignancy, a very unusual one. As she heard the doctor on her own speaking these things that we can hardly comprehend, friends, that something happened. Something she had never known before, really. The words of God's grace in the hymn that we have sung, or from it, those everlasting arms, the Lord spoke to dear Susan underneath of the everlasting arms, and she felt it so sweetly that she was resting in the Lord. It is right to say that she thought she could walk, as it were, to go to Jesus, while being told these most solemn and very, very hard things. The Lord put his arms under her and helped her. Friends, that is how we believe we must speak this morning. She was wonderfully helped of God to rest in the will of God concerning her. Now that's what grace does. She was then exceedingly troubled. And sin was a particular trouble to her soul. It seems that the Lord deepened. You know, we've sung the Amazing Grace. The Lord convinced her very deeply of her sinnership, the vital thing. No new birth without conviction of sin. And she was brought so very low, very troubled, and brought to cry to God for mercy. I believe she never cried to God for mercy before like that. She wanted the Lord to appear for her and forgive her sin. Very, very deeply. She was troubled in her soul. Now, friends, it began by love divine in her heart. Vital consideration. And it was a little time when she was very much seeking God for his sweet mercy, the Lord to appear. These things are real. And she saw the rainbow from her room and wished and hoped that she might have an interest in God's eternal covenant of love, that she was deeply convinced of sin and feared greatly. I believe she had never felt like that before. And I want to speak of this amazing grace. She reached for a magazine that is well known to some of you, Perception, and her trouble. And the part that she read, some of you may know of it, was where Mr. Broom was preaching at Lamberhurst, and it was recorded. And the comments that she read was this: what do we know of the blood of Christ? And then he went on to speak of the evidence of knowing the blood of Christ in forgiveness. He said, to be able to look back over the way and remember those places where the Lord has visited your soul, where he has been with you, and you have felt those everlasting arms underneath. And friends, God appeared for dear Susan, and so blessed her with that confirmation. She said, of course she was very poorly, she said, I could have got up and gone down to the nurse's desk and told them of what the Lord had done for her. Now friends, that's real religion. That's what amazing grace does. Brings into a sweet knowledge the Saviour, to the heart, to forgive sins. Solemn friends, if we are left in nature's darkness and hardness, dear Susan was blessed of God so much. She felt her sins forgiven, and she was able to rest her all on the will of God. Some of you know what these truths are. It's when grace reaches our sins and our unworthiness, the favour of God is known. It's all of grace. She was born again, and sweetly brought to know the Saviour. We might well say, may this be a testimony of real religion. God is the author of. She'd been very worldly. Not that she had gone astray in a very outward way, but she was joined to the world. And as one of my congregation, I loved her and I was concerned, as pastors are. After God had blessed her, she said more than once she was able to leave many things behind and didn't want those things that she had. That once were close to her heart. That's what grace does. Amazing grace. It turns the heart to Jesus Christ, and he will not have a rival. He'll reign alone. Settle it therefore in your heart. Or may it be a testimony, friends, to God's saving grace in a very dark day when these things are reduced to some outdated or long forgotten age. Grace lives and it reigns, and God will bring his people to know him. I want to speak just a little more, very feelingly, because the Lord knows I feel so much for the family. But these things, that they rest in the heart, friends. What God has done, may it be a sweet consolation. May it be a testimony too, to the power of God's sweet grace. I used to visit her and I found her so easy to talk to. Friends, there's something God had done. I had such liberty in speaking to her, and I spoke faithfully. And she spoke to me. And there was a bond. I said to a dear friend from Swaversea, she was nice to visit. It was good to visit Susan. Of course, the desire of our heart to God was this, that he would spare her, heal her. There's much prayer. Our own heart went up to the Lord that there might be some purpose of God in sparing dear Susan to the glory of his grace to speak of those things. But it pleased God to bless her and to take her home. I want to come a little further. Many things dear Susan was able to speak of. The family know those precious things that were spoken to her, spoken by her. Now, I want to speak of my own experience with dear Susan. The friends and family do know how deeply it affected me. I had previously said to dear Susan that we're not any better, are we, than the worst cynic, the worst opposer to God's word, his law, and his grace. I said, we're no better whatsoever. She said, no, we're worse. That's what God's grace does. And I went to see her a few days before she died, rather concerned to speak to our dear friend in the word of the Lord. And I said to her, she was very, very poorly. I said, do you remember you saying about being worse than all? And she knew what I was saying. So I said, I'm going to read to you the hymn that I've been thinking about. And it's the hymn that we shall close this service with. Yes, the very worst of sinners. Who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. And I had a sweet time in prayer, and I repeated in my prayer, the very worst of sinners. The dear Susan said, amen, amen. As it went right to my heart, feeling that the Lord had given her a dying testimony. It brought me to tears. Friends, it's the power of it, the truth of it, God's rich grace, reach into the hearts, into the life, preparing for all God's holy, sovereign will. She could rest as the Lord helped her. Sometimes she was very tried and tempted. She was not always rejoicing. But she said at one time, I love him, but does he love me? The Lord was pleased to graciously deal with Susan in a saving way. There's no doubt about it that she left the world side. And the dear Lord gave her a religion to die by. It pleased God to take her peacefully from this life. We believe resting into those everlasting arms, vital truths, and how sweet it is when God makes a change. There are things that are a testimony, God's saving grace, things wrought out according to God's eternal grace. These are the things that remain, will remain until the world is no more. There are many things we could perhaps say more. And I want to speak lastly, as we are bidden to do, the need to be aware that life is so short. We are given responsibility to proclaim very clearly man's poor, lost and ruined condition. Absolutely impotent, helpless, but subject to God's law. how solemn that is. We sometimes sing not to propose, but call by grace. We read of watchmen that God appoints. There's a time when they must speak. We read in Ezekiel, I've made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life or to know the truth. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. How solemn, friend. To live and to die on the side of those that are careless, indifferent, left to nature's darkness. We feel it ourselves. Now there's one thing I want to leave with you, a thought. This Susan was of a younger generation. Please God to take Susan from this life at the relatively early age of 46. I want to make comment to our young people. We are watchmen. We need to be very, very clear. Since we need the same vital truths in our generations that God has owned and blessed. There is among several that desire to seek for something lighter, easier, or to think that more will be saved if we're not quite so strict, or think that we ought to embrace more and different things. Well, friends, let me say very, very clearly, we've thought like that. Until God has directed us and still directs us to the vital need of a new birth, a change that God can look upon. And we need grace, friends, to understand the malady, how great it is. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. No, there is a very great need to be found amongst those the Lord Jesus speaks of. For he said, ye must be born again. It reaches right into the life, into the heart. Ministers cannot give it. But God does. May there be something abiding, something remaining. And lastly, there's a part in Revelation that has been upon my mind, I hope, as a watchman. Things that concern us so deeply. In the first chapter of Revelation, we read of the Lord Jesus in a very different way to what we may understand. John saw him, Christ, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, girt about the golden girdle, his head and his hairs were like wool, eternal, as white as snow, and his eyes searching the churches and our lives. We read in the word of God, kiss the Son lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. It is time, by God's grace, to look very, very carefully to our standing before a holy, holy God and his Christ. He searches for the wedding garment, prayer. How camest thou in hither, without a wedding garment? Solemn thing to come to die and to be on precarious ground indeed. Many things I must leave with you. May it turn to you for a testimony. In a very godless day, that there is a reality, God-given, real religion. May he have mercy upon us, and may impressions last, friend. May our religion wear in and not wear out. It pleases God to help me to leave a few things to the glory of his grace, the need of our souls, the Lord to return to the churches, the Lord to stem the tide of sin and carelessness, the Lord to have mercy and grant the new birth and eternal life by his rich grace. We will leave it there and sing together our last hymn. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls, have here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend, yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die.
Thank you.
Just give the notices out before the benediction. Thanks and gratitude is given for the use of the chapel today by the dear friends at Swavesey. There are maps in the front porch for the directions to Fenstanton Cemetery. And we ask you to park at the church side of the cemetery. Just mention also that the car park at Fenstanton Chapel and the facilities are available there. The refreshments, which I asked to speak of again, are at the church centre near the cemetery. Thank you. O Lord, do grant now the help of God to thank Thee for the sweet grace that reached our dear friends' hearts, and may it abide in our hearts too. Leave us not to vanities, but grant, Lord, that knowledge of Christ and that salvation through the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, be with us now and do support and help the dear family. We feel so much for them. And grant, O Lord, that help of God to each one. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each. Amen.